What a game. The Bengals defeat the Kansas City Chiefs, go to 3-0 in three straight against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and they're the first team to do it. Let's break it down.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network here on Locked On Bengals, bringing you coverage of your Cincinnati Bengals as they make this playoff push every day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube. And a lot of you may be new. If you are new, join the club, hit the subscribe button, join the thousands of folks that listen to Locked On Bengals every day and make it their first listen. As the Bengals are a very, very exciting team right now. Today's episode of Locked On Bengals is presented by Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Made Easy. You can get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 right now with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And James, what a game. This is exactly what I wanted, man. We were talking about this going into the game, and I was like, I want this to be a nice game where both teams make plays, and the Bengals show that they belong in this tier of team, and I think they showed that, and I think they showed more than that. I think this was a fantastic game.
Huge win, biggest win of the season. You know, you really vault yourself, and we can talk about exactly what this means, but 27-24 over the Chiefs, a team that some idiot named James Rapine dubbed the best team in the NFL through, well, and they probably were, through 12 weeks. Well, the good news was it was week 13. And week 13, the Bengals beat the Chiefs. So, Jake, you know what time it is.
Yeah, is there something cool about that? Is there something going on?
I think so. I'm ready. I think you're ready.
Are the people
ready? So, without further ado,
you gotta
give the people what they want. Nailed it. Man, you nailed it. We kept them waiting a little bit this time, Jake. I don't know about you. I'm sure you did. People were DMing me. This has got to be a woo game. I'm waiting on Zach Taylor, and I see my DMs, and it's like, oh, this has got to be a woo game, James. That was the Chiefs. That's got to be a woo game. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jake Lisco just wooed.
It was a huge game. I mean, this is the kind of game that gets me excited this year. This is the kind of game that, like, truly confirms all the things that we wanted to see from this team. They had the slow start, and that slow start, it does haunt a little bit in some ways, but that's not why we're here today. Today, we're here to talk about a complete team, in my opinion, James. And that's my takeaway from this game. This is a complete team at this point in time. And yes, they missed Chidobe Awuzie. I think that is indisputable, but they got by without him. They had an opportunity. Again, they didn't complete it, but Cam Taylor-Britt, because of some pressure from that defensive front, had an opportunity at an interception. Jermaine Pratt steps up, strips Travis Kelce. Huge, huge game-winning play. And what a game it was, James, from the Bengals making plays to open the game, opting to receive the opening kick again, which is apparently a thing that they're doing now, which is still kind of weird to me to still be doing it consistently. To the Chiefs making a bunch of plays and getting a bunch of bounces going their way in the middle of the game, to Jermaine Pratt, Samaje Perine, and Joseph Osai making huge plays to put the game in the bag, and Joe Burrow playing another just elite game. Joe Burrow is playing at an incredible level of quarterbacking right now. Maybe it doesn't look as sexy as some of the other quarterbacks in the league, but he's playing incredible, incredible football right now. And all of those things, given the quality of competition in this game and the fact that they should have won by more, it didn't need to be as close as it was. It didn't need to be as dramatic as it was. Just tells you that they've got a good team. This is a really good team. Maybe they don't win out. Maybe they don't win out and get the one seed or whatever. And that's possible now, right? Remember, I said that if they win this game, that keeps the number one seed in play. But they're a really good football team. And I think that we know that for sure right now. Maybe they don't even beat the Browns next week, right? If we're getting ahead, and we're not going to get ahead too much. But that doesn't change, I think, that they've proven quite a bit in the last stretch of time here after that rough start.
Begins and ends with Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow outplayed Patrick Mahomes. That's exactly what this game is. That's what it comes down to. And there are a lot of other factors that we could talk about of a lot of other things. But when you look at their numbers, and not that Patrick Mahomes was awful, because he wasn't, but Joe Burrow was better. Mm-hmm. He was better from the jump. He started 8 for 10. He was just lights out from the get-go and finished 25 of 31, 80.6% of his passes were completed. That's free throw numbers, Jake. That's what people hope to make. Basketball players hope to complete at the free throw line. That's what he's doing in an NFL game against a defense that talked a lot this week. Chris Jones was revved up for this game, fired up this week. We know what Justin Reed said, and Ja'Marr Chase really did you know, I don't want to say took shots, but certainly made it clear how he felt. And so did Burrow after the game. But 286 yards, 2 touchdowns, was great running the ball when needed for 46 more yards and a touchdown. Burrow is playing awesome. And when you have him playing awesome and you're giving him the time, and that's the other part of this, Burrow had time today. Mm-hmm. Chris Jones didn't wreck the game. This wasn't some, you know, defensive feast for any of those guys. If you do that, and George Karlaftis is the only sack, has the only sack of the day for the Chiefs, near the Bengals, you take that all day long. And Burrow right now, there was a lot of talk after the game. Oh, man, should he be in the MVP conversation? Ja'Marr Chase called him the best quarterback in the NFL. DJ Reader called him the best quarterback in the NFL. Zach Taylor said that he should certainly be in the MVP conversation. So that's what this win did. When I think about what does this win do, of course, it gives them a chance at that one seed and vaults them to the top of the AFC contender list. And they're right there now with the Bills and Chiefs, I would say, as the teams that you would mark in that category or to classify as that. But it also just raises the profile of their stars. And that starts with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he played another great game. Like you said, you talk about free throw numbers, should have been even closer. Talk about elite free throw shooters. Steph Curry is who pops into my mind, who I know you love, obviously. And talk about free throw numbers, should have been closer to Steph Curry's free throw numbers if not for that Tyler Boyd drop of what should have been a walk-in touchdown. And, you know, that play doesn't end up coming back to bite them too hard. They win the game, obviously, but he's so on time. The sack avoidance for Burrow, which was the nitpick early in the year, taking some sacks that he didn't need to take, and honestly took a sack in this game he didn't need to take, but avoided more than he created or took that he didn't need to take in this game, I think. And we've talked about this the last 3 weeks now, James. Playing on time. The ball is coming out when it needs to come out right before he gets hit, including that fourth down or that third down conversion to T. Higgins to ice the game. And I don't know what the Chiefs defender is doing there. He'd like, thinks the ball is gone, I guess, and lets up instead of just running through Burrow and what could have been a sack on, I think it was like a twist or maybe it was a fake twist. And he got through essentially unblocked, just got chipped a little bit before he got in there. Burrow standing in and getting rid of the ball with excellent, excellent timing, fitting it into incredible windows, making great, great decisions, giving his receivers, those talented playmakers, an opportunity to make plays with the ball in their hands after the catch. And I really don't think you could ask for more than what Joe Burrow is doing right now. And the fact that he's getting this protection, they found all these different ways, and we're going to talk about this, they found all these different ways to move the ball on offense. They're getting really diverse offense. That's where I keep coming back to this idea of complete. And the guys that made plays to win them the game, not just Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and their stars, but Jermaine Pratt and Joseph Osai and Samaje Perine, who, man, what a game again for Samaje Perine that we're talking about here in another huge win for this team.
And Chris Evans.
No,
I'm just saying there's a list. Burrow completed passes to 8 guys today.
Like, right, and it's just it tells you about the depth, right? That's what Chris Evans tells you, is that they have guys that they can bring off the bench and that can do things like what Chris Evans said. That was a great schemed up play for this coaching staff.
Oh, for sure.
You credit the coaching staff too, is all my point is there, is that these coaches, man, I think have come a long way.
For sure. And that's what you saw today. Honestly, I mean, that's what they punted once on offense. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they didn't turn the ball over and could have had more points, left some points on the board. Let's continue to talk about how diverse they're becoming as an offense, because man, this offense, it's starting to look like the offense I talked about and we talked about and envisioned way back in March when they were putting this team together in free agency. We'll do that next right here on Locked On Bengals.
It's a lot of fun. This holiday, find what you love at Total Wine and More, sponsoring today's episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon or the perfect gift for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide, and all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price possible. You'll love what you find at Total Wine and More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
At Locked On Bengals, we believe home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the peace of mind and protection with a number one rated home security system, SimpliSafe. And right now, SimpliSafe is offering Locked On Bengals listeners 40% off a new security system. Don't put this off. The biggest reason why I love it, it's 24/7 professional monitoring that agents are available all the time. And what they use is Fast Protect technology. It's exclusively from SimpliSafe. So if there's a threat, it captures critical evidence and can verify that the threat is real. So you are higher on the priority police response. That professional monitoring service costs under $1 per day, less than half the price of traditional home security systems. So don't delay. Check out SimpliSafe at simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL and save big on my favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That's simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Going to stick to the offense here. And obviously the offense is a big reason that we like this team so much, right? The star power they have on offense, the quarterback they have, the offensive line improvements, and they continue to be an efficient running game. And you talk about the multiple ways that they can win right now. And that's such a big part of why I'm willing to call them a complete team. This is numerous weeks where they've been efficient in the running game. Some of those against bad run defenses, some of them against decent run defenses. And that continues again this week, where both of these teams kind of had similar defensive plans, right? That they're selling out to stop the pass for 90, 95% of the game. And despite that, Samaje Perine again has positive EPA per play as a runner, has a really high success rate in the run game. Again, which is what we've been talking about with where the team's been really good, 43% success rate in the run. And that might even include the kneel downs. Not 100% sure on that, but Samaje Perine over 5 yards per carry, right, James?
Yeah, let me check to make sure, but I believe so. He was at right at 5, 21 for 106. So technically just over 5.
Yeah, just a hair over 5 yards per carry. And they're winning underneath. They're winning with Joe Burrow running. They're winning with Samaje Perine running. They're not getting to third downs. They're successful when they do get to third downs. They have some explosive plays, you know, mixed in there with Ja'Marr Chase going for a 40-yard catch at some point and staying in Kansas City's nightmares. And the return to Ja'Marr Chase also noticeable, drawing all those resources his way and letting Tyler Boyd and Samaje Perine and T. Higgins and even Mitchell Wilcox and Trent Irwin get in on the action. You mentioned all these guys getting targets, and we'll have to keep an eye on Hayden Hurst, who left the game and was out with a calf injury. Hopefully that's not too bad for him, but just winning at all levels of the field, intermediate, inside, outside the numbers. And that's the evolution we've seen from this team as they've evolved as this season has gone on. And like I said, is a big reason that I'm willing to call them complete right now.
For sure. They are battle tested, and they've grown, and they grew when Ja'Marr Chase was out, and now that guy is back. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting, because I still think, even after that performance, and obviously you could say, oh, well, Boyd's not going to make that drop. And a lot of times they would potentially, you know, convert on the third and one. So, you know, you don't get to fourth and inches and do the end around play that Burrow checks to Trent Taylor, all of those things. But I think this offense, even if they had converted those plays, could be better. And there's another gear. And that's the exciting part to me, is they might have just beat what a lot, including myself coming in, considered the best team in the NFL. Okay, so if they did that, and I still think that there's some things that they left on the field, how good can this offense be? And I've always been, you know, 30 points per game was my standard for them last year, whether it was realistic or unrealistic. And we debated that and talked about that a lot on the show. Throwback Locked On Bengals listeners know. New ones, hey, welcome. If you're new, you might not know, which that's why I added that detail. I think this offense could finally like meet those really, 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 really high expectations, Jake, that are unrealistic for most teams and probably aren't fair. And yet, to me, are fair because you have a Joe Burrow who's special, and we spent multiple minutes talking about him. A Jamar Chase who looked every bit as Jamar-like to me today and was making plays. T. Higgins had the biggest catch of the day, which third and 11. You talked about the coaches. One, and I've been as critical as anyone about Zach Taylor late game. I love that you pass it there, Zach. I love that you pass it there. You're aggressive and you say, let's go for the kill. Because when you have these guys, that's what you should do, especially if you trust that offensive line, which obviously they do right now. Huge play for Joe Burrow to T. Higgins. I thought that was a big one.
And it's not like the coaching is immune from criticism in this game, right? But they, I think, got more right than wrong. You could talk about the QB sneak and then the jet sweep. You could talk about, you know, the play before 2 minute warning where they're running the ball really well, but they have Joe Burrow drop back to pass. And then Joe Burrow doesn't handle that. That's like his one big mistake of the game, is taking a sack on that play instead of throwing it away with the 2 minute warning being there. But yeah, I think letting Joe Burrow win the game. And I think Eric Eager pointed this out. He was at the game. He's a Kansas City guy. He's a Kansas City fan. He used to work for PFF, and he was in attendance at the game. And he's like, yeah, you know, Zach Taylor could have played for 30, given the ball back to Kansas City with a minute left, and let Jesus take the wheel, was his quote. And I like that little turn of phrase, let Jesus take the wheel. I think that's a funny one. And he didn't. He trusted his quarterback, and his quarterback made the play. And you talk about the expectations. I think they are reasonable at this point. They've been doing it long enough. They've shown that they can make those adjustments. They have a quarterback, again, just to repeat this, to drill this into your heads, who's playing at an incredibly high level. Even if it doesn't look as flashy as some of the highlights you're going to see from other quarterbacks around the league, the things that he's doing on a consistent basis are incredibly impressive. And you're right, they left some meat on the bone. The Tyler Boyd drop is one. The jet sweep call, which was an audible by Joe Burrow at the line of scrimmage to Trent Taylor, that gets blown up by Carlos Dunlap, which is a really good play, by the way, from Carlos Dunlap, because if he doesn't make that play, that might be a touchdown. And then they get an ineligible downfield penalty that turns into a batted pass on a third and six, right? Mm-hmm. So they go 0-for-3 on three straight red zone possessions where the offense was moving, right? Mm-hmm. They left a lot there. And on top of that, you talk about opportunities that they didn't take advantage of. They had the dropped interception. They had the OPI that preceded that dropped interception. They gave up a fourth down conversion. They sent pressure on a couple of third downs that Mahomes converted with explosive plays. So these key moments and some bouncing ball luck went the Chiefs' way. And despite all that, the Bengals were in control with the game as time expired. Right. And you talk about they only scored 27 points. They should, that's not the 30 point margin you're talking about, but that's because they're killing clock. They effectively score over 30 in this game.
That last drive was as big of a drive as there was. Mm-hmm. Because who's betting against Mahomes if you give them the ball back?
Even that's what Burrow said, right?
Yeah. You don't want to do that. And so huge win. This offense continues to make steps forward and take steps forward. And we're going to, this week, just spoiler, we're going to have to talk a little bit more about Samaje Perine and this running back.
Really good.
Battle a little bit. He was really good. He's really good. And
he's good. He's a good football player.
Can't have enough good football players. The Bengals offense loaded. It looks like they're reaching their full stride. We do need to switch gears, though, and talk about this defense.
And they did it again.
The good, the bad, and the not so ugly. I don't think there was many ugly in this game, much ugly in this game, but there was some good and there was some bad. So let's dive into that coming up next.
Today's episode of Locked On Bengals brought to you by Prize Picks Daily Fantasy. Done right. All you do with Prize Picks is, well, you pick 2 to 5 players and whether they're going to score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. It's just you against the projections. Have you ever heard of anything that sounds that easy? It's not thousands of entries. There aren't huge pools of players. There's nobody submitting thousands of entries individually for you to compete against. No, just you against the projections for any sport you watch. And we're getting into the thick of the MVP race with Joe Burrow. So I'm assuming that's the NFL if you're watching this program. Could be the NBA as they're going in full swing. Could be name a sport. They've probably got a men's college basketball also going as well. And Prize Picks has options for you there too. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Just go to the Prize Picks app or prizepicks.com. And when you sign up to play daily fantasy sports, you can get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. With promo code Locked On. Again, if you deposit $100, they will match $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget, that's promo code Locked On for an instant deposit match up to $100 with Prize Picks.
And I got to tell you about Schultz & Sons, because Schultz & Sons Jewelers, well, it's a tradition like no other. It's been a Cincinnati tradition for more than 65 years, and no one is more excited right now than Matt and his crew that the Bengals have won four straight games, are 8-4, handle business against the Chiefs. And who knows, maybe they'll be adding some jewelry to their collection later this year. Maybe it's AFC North, AFC, maybe they'll win the whole thing. Well, if you're looking to add jewelry this holiday season, which why wouldn't you? You could find the custom pieces that they can design and help you put together that you know she's going to love. And you're like, oh, well, how much does that cost? How is it going to work? Well, they have financing up to 18 months, no interest. No interest. That's my style. So make sure you check it out right now. Same as cash available. 18 months, same as cash available. So if you're thinking about the perfect gift, do not delay. Go to Schultz & Sons and keep their tradition alive. And they're really close. If you're downtown Cincinnati or close to downtown Cincinnati, they're located in Fort Mitchell, just a few minutes from the bridge, right off the Fort Mitchell exit in the Kroger Expressway Plaza. So get there and remember, when it has to be perfect, it has to be Schultz & Sons.
Great transition to our game ball conversation, our Schultz & Sons game ball conversation, because I'm going to go, you could give it to Joe Burrow, you know, most weeks. You could give it to Ja'Marr Chase in his return. You could give it to Samaje Perine with his great game. You could give it to many players on the offensive side of the ball because they played really well. I'm giving it to Jermaine Pratt. James made a game-winning play, taking the ball away from Kansas City's best non-Patrick Mahomes player in Travis Kelce in a pivotal moment to get the Bengals an opportunity to go take a lead and score the game-winning touchdown. So for me, it's Jermaine Pratt. That's going to get me into transitioning to the defensive side of the ball. Do you have another idea for the game ball?
Oh, of course I do. But the fact that they held Travis Kelce to four catches in 56 yards and a fumble, my fantasy team might not be excited, but yeah, you should be really excited, Lou Anarumo and crew. So that they deserve one for that. But to me, it's got to be Joey B, man. This dude, 25 of 31, just he's going to mess around and end up MVP and cover of Madden. They may bring back NFL 2K just to put him on the cover too. He's going to have to watch it now. He's going to have to watch it, especially with that suit. Did you see that picture? He's busy talking to national writers in the Bengals locker room. And the Bengals dropped that picture of him. He's going to end up with a modeling deal and all these deals. And he likes attention, but not that much attention. So better watch out, Joe, with this stellar play. But yeah, he gets our Schultz & Sons game ball, which we'll have to get with them, because you know how they have like the little Nickelodeon trophy. Maybe we could, you know, get some kind of Schultz & Sons game ball that I could be like, hey, congratulations.
One of two
every week,
because we're giving out two. We got Jermaine Pratt as well.
I'll have Burrow throw it to Jermaine across the locker room. That would be a fun video.
That'd be great. Yeah, he's wearing that red suit. I assume he's going, like, they have a nice dinner plan or something. I don't know. Maybe he's going out tonight. Who knows? But I was using
That dude is at home watching The Office right now. This
just wearing his red suit for show. Maybe they went out to dinner, man. I don't know. Who knows? James,
he's an order in guy. Anyways, let's talk about this defense that just put the clamps on Travis Kelce.
Yeah, really impressive first half, and didn't necessarily see a ton of Trey Flowers. I recall one early Trey Flowers snap for sure, but I don't know what it is about this defense, Lou Anarumo going against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but man, do they have their number in key moments. it's just another example where, yeah, Mahomes got his. You know, he beat the blitz a couple times, found MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling deep a couple times. But when the game was on the line, it was Joseph Osai. And one thing that was obvious to me, and I don't know everything that Lou Anarumo did to try to slow down this offense, but we saw some of the drop eight stuff. In some cases, it worked. In some cases, it didn't work. I think it worked more than it didn't work. I think we saw that come back and still be effective because of the way they got to it, especially in the fourth quarter. In one instance, they get to it from showing a lot of pressure, and they drop it all out into a drop eight. And I think Mahomes eventually gets chased into a throwaway by Trey Hendrickson on that play. But in general, one of the things that was really impressive to me, and it kind of goes back to our crossover conversation with Chris, was the Bengals' defensive line did a great job of containing Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't able to play that backyard brand of football where he's able to make magic and run around until somebody gets open. And he did it on one play that didn't count because of the ineligible downfields. Maybe he did it another time that I'm not remembering. But in general, I thought that the Bengals' defensive front did a great job of keeping Mahomes within the structure of the offense for the most part. And you didn't see them creating these crazy off-script plays. And they dedicated a lot of resources for sure to defending the pass, which meant they gave it up in the run a little bit. They gave it up in the screen game a little bit. But I think that they still have answers for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and this offense when they need them. It wasn't perfect, but they got the plays when they needed them, and that was huge.
There were multiple times where they either didn't get pressure initially and the pressure finally got there and forced Mahomes to awkwardly throw the ball away. I'm thinking about Hendrickson hitting him on the sideline. Hubbard got there a couple of times.
Hubbard had a great rep on that sack too.
And the sack, of course. Mm-hmm. But like, it just, there were multiple times where there was nowhere to go with the ball, even without Shido. And coming into today, I wasn't sure that they would be able to do that, because we saw that last year. Some, they were able to do it. And it was like, he's holding it, rolls out one way, no room, comes back the other. But you're right. For the most part, they kept him in the pocket and were able to not allow him, when he did roll out, to be in like playmaker mode. It was like survive mode is how I would describe it, because he was just trying to find the lane to get into playmaker mode. And most of the time that didn't happen. And I think that also went hand in hand with limiting Kelsey, because a lot of those times are off script and he sees Kelsey, finds a little window, and boom, a potential sack turns into a 30-yard gain the other way. The Bengals didn't allow that to happen. And the thing is, the Chiefs, they ran the ball pretty well for them. And it really didn't matter. This Bengals defense was able to come up with a few more stops. And obviously the turnover is just huge. I thought at some point the dam would break, and it should have broke more. Mm-hmm. Cam Taylor-Britt drops that interception, would have been a game changer. It was 14-3. You get that interception going the other way. Whew. And instead it was 14-10, and we know what happened there. So this Bengals defense did flash some. They also had some mistakes, but that's okay, because in every player, every coach will tell you this, it's much easier to fix mistakes and correct them after a win.
And I don't even know that they were like huge mistakes. Maybe in the run game there were some, right, where they probably gave up more than they wanted to in the run game, even though they were dedicating extra resources in the pass. But in the pass game, which is what you're worried about when you play this team, they were pretty good. I thought there weren't like assignment issues. There's probably a couple plays where, you know, I remember one Mike Hilton play on a screen where he shoots it. He sees it coming. He gets downhill, but he misses a tackle in the backfield. Cam Taylor-Britt had that opportunity to get Juju Smith-Schuster down short of the line to game. Doesn't quite get that done. So you know, there's little things like that. But the two deep balls to Valdes-Scantling, those are just on pressures. They're just on blitzes. The pressure doesn't quite get home. And you know, Patrick Mahomes, if you don't get to him on those pressures, and the Bengals did last year a couple times when they did choose to dial it up, he's generally just too good. And they're so hard to defend in general. But man, if you hold Patrick Mahomes at 223 yards, what more can you ask? You absolutely take it every time.
And you held him to 24 points. I mean, you say sign up and let's see how the game, 10 points in the first half, 2 touchdowns to start the second half, and then you adjust. and you're able to stifle them from there. You would take it every single time. And now there was, you know, the missed field goal. So there were other points that could have been
55 yard field goal, though, that came after a sack to force the field goal attempt. And Andy Reid probably still should have gone for it. But, you know, the defense steps up and makes a play there.
It's tough. Cause I might have kicked that field goal too, but it's tough because 4th and 5 is much different than what 4th and 2 or 4th and 3. Which would have been before the sack.
It's because of the sack. I think it was ESPN's game log has it at 4th and 7 from the 4th and 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was 4th and 3 and then 4th and 7 or 3rd and 3 and then 4th and 7. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So big difference. 4th and 7. I get it. They have a good kicker, you know, Butker's a good kicker. So I would have kicked it with McPherson and, instead that you miss it and boom there you go. I mean, it's a heck of a win, Jake. They're 8-4. If I would have told you on Monday Night Football after that game, when I'm joining you at First Energy Stadium and it's super late, and I'm like, what the heck did we just watch? I mean, we were just that they are going to win the next 4, including beat the Chiefs, that they would win their next 3 without Ja'Marr Chase, and that now suddenly we'd be talking about not just AFC North titles, but where's their – their seeding going to be? Are they going to be the one seed? Like, there's hope alive for the one seed, which is sort of wild. By the way, I do want to update it. The Brian Callahan pregame fist bump. Oh, it happened. Just letting everyone know.
That's 6-1?
It happened. It is. So the Bengals have won 6 of their last 7, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. That's it.
So,
yeah.
So it started with the Saints.
It started with the Saints. Correct. Week 6. So it started with the Saints and 6-1 since.
There you go.
And a little birdie told me that fans have started asking Brian Callahan about the pregame fist bump, which
that's
is even
funny.
Better.
Really funny. He's on a heater too, man. And I know his job is a little bit easier right now when you have a quarterback playing the way that Joe Burrow is. And I cannot emphasize enough how well Joe Burrow is playing right now, really, since you started this fist bump tradition, going back 7 weeks now. Outside of that Cleveland game, he's playing next level since then. But, hey, if it works, it works, man.
Yeah, if it works, it works. It's clearly working. And, I'll be at the game next week. So we'll see if, the fist bump can redeem itself against the Browns.
And plenty more to talk about in this one. As we move through the week, the Bengals, are they the best team in the AFC? Well, they're certainly in that conversation after a pretty impressive and, though dramatic, I think, clear victory over the Chiefs. It wasn't necessarily as, you know, if you really want to be cynical, as lucky as some would argue some of the wins were last year. I'm not saying they were, but some certainly would. This was a game in which the Bengals again show that they're a better team this year than they were last year. And like you said, James, one seed certainly in play. They control their own destiny in that regard in some ways. Maybe they're still a game behind the Chiefs, so not entirely, but they do get a chance to get the tiebreaker over the Bills in their favor as well, with Miami losing and the Bills back on top of that division. So a lot to talk about as we move through this week and start to prepare for the Cleveland Browns coming to Paul Brown State, Paycor Stadium next time. So until the next episode of Locked On Bengals, we appreciate everybody who listened, who enjoyed this game and this episode of the podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Hoo day, and have a good one.